you're sick of hearing the anti-white message, then you've come to the right place. You're listening to Radio Arian at RadioArian.com.
And welcome to the Stormer Report. Today's date is the 26th of September 2016, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. As always, today I'm joined by Mr. Lee Rogers from Infostormer.com, and we'll be discussing the most interesting articles and news from the Daily Stormer and from the Infostormer today. How are you doing today, Lee?
Hey, Sven, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, as I say, I'm really glad that you can find time in your busy schedule to join us once a fortnight to produce these reports. And there's all sorts that has been going on in the last week. We've had stuff going on over in America and in Britain, and we've got some positive news to finish up with. But I think the main news story of the moment seems to be these riots that have been happening over in Charlotte the last few days. And they seem to follow a bit of a pattern. Negro criminal resists arrest. A Negro criminal is shot by police. And then the entire Negro community goes wild, starts setting fire to things, burning down their buildings, looting, robbing. There's even been another killing, black on black killing there. And they blame all this on the police. And all the news reports that we see, they don't actually tell us about the crimes that all these Negroes have committed. All they tell us about is the endemic racism in the police force, because the police have killed another one of these blacks. It's actually more white people that get killed by the police than blacks, and more blacks are killed by blacks than actual whites. So we know that the entire media narrative is false on this. But one thing I have been a bit confused about by this is was it a white cop that killed him, or was it a black cop? I know they've been saying it was a racist killing, but at first they were saying it was the black police that shot them. We've also been told that he had a book, and then we discovered he had a gun. There's all sorts of questions I've got about this, Lee. Do you know which police, which race copper it was that shot him? Have you got any more details on this for us?
Well, all the reports that have come out have stated that the police officer that shot this black Keith Scott, the officer was black. That's what I've heard from all the different news reports, but it's not something that the Jewish media is putting out as a major headline. Instead, we get all this gibberish about how blacks are being suppressed and how this is all part of some Nazi police conspiracy of some kind, which, if you look at what happened, they actually ended up releasing the body cam footage and then the dash cam footage of one of the cop cruisers. And then there's also another video clip that his wife was recording via cell phone. And if you take a look at all three of these clips, you can see clearly that the police are telling him over and over again to drop the gun. They're trying to get him out of the car, and he refuses to do that. He actually opens the door, backs away from him, but is holding something in his hand. He refuses to drop it. He doesn't put his hands up to indicate that, hey, I'm not going to do anything. I'm no threat. Instead, he backs away, doesn't follow their instructions. Then they end up shooting him. So it was his own reckless behavior that resulted in his death. It wasn't the fault of the police. But the fact that they're framing this as some Nazi cop conspiracy is absurd, because first of all, the police department is run by a black man. And then, like I said before, the cop that shot him was also black. So how is this some sort of Nazi cop conspiracy? And then you got people saying that, well, they may have planted the gun and all this other nonsense. But his wife was recording the whole thing and was there when it happened. So there's really not any way that they could have planted a weapon as part of some vast conspiracy that they wanted to frame this guy for. The whole thing is just absurd. And it just, when you look at the footage objectively, you see that the narrative that the Jewish press is promoting is entirely false. It's a big hoax, just like all these other cases we had, like Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, and so forth and so on.
Well, Mike Dice has broken it down nicely, I think, and you featured three of his videos on your article to do with this. He points out that he had a gun holster on. He points out that you can see what the position of his hand, that he's got a gun there. A dozen times the police were shouting, "Drop the gun, drop the gun." And yet the media reports that I've seen, they're still saying that there's no conclusive proof. It may have been a book that he had. And yet when I first, they're still saying
that's
this.
The worst part of it, the book idea of like, oh, okay. Yeah, he was just reading a book. Like, how many black people are actually running around sitting in a car reading a book?
It's ludicrous.
I mean, give me a break.
Ludicrous.
I mean, even Chris Rock admitted this. There's actually a clip of Chris Rock making a joke about how books are like kryptonite to black people. So even a black comedian admits that black people don't read. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I think she just saw this and saw this as a chance for her to take advantage of it and make up some kind of story. His wife, that is. She must have known that he had a gun. And I think she was inferring that in some of the things that she was saying, because she was saying, "Don't do it, Keith, don't do it." She was saying, "Get out of the car." And then she was saying, "Oh, don't do it, don't do it." As if, don't shoot the police.
Why would she be saying those things if he didn't have a gun? And I mean, come on, the ankle holster thing that you brought up is a really key point. In the body cam footage, you see that he clearly has some type of ankle holster. Now, to think that, okay, he would have put a book in there, like it was an ankle holster for a book. Yeah. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's clearly he had an ankle holster for a firearm of some kind. And when you look at this guy's rap sheet, I mean, he was involved with all sorts of criminality, a lot of violent crime. I mean, I guess he had drugs in the car. I mean, that's a whole other subject, but he basically put himself in this position, and it's his own fault that he got shot. You can't blame the police when you look at all the evidence and all the video footage. It just doesn't add up.
It does make you think that all these shootings of the Negroes must have actually been correct and in self-defense, because they have yet to actually find one that's been innocent, that hasn't actually been resisting arrest. I mean, you would think if it was truthful that there is innocent Negroes that are just minding their own business and they get attacked by police, you would think that one of them, just one of them, would be found not to have been resisting arrest. Every single one that, you know, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, Freddie Gray, or whatever his name was, one that was selling stuff on the street, every single one of them had a long criminal record and was resisting arrest in some way. Last week there was another one in Tulsa, I believe it was. And
yeah, I was going to mention that if you didn't bring it up, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, that one, you saw that and you did think, well, how could that be wrong? The guy, he wasn't reaching for anything. He was just stood there and they just shot him. But then you find out that he was being told to put his hands on his head. He wouldn't put his hands up. He was screaming and raving about the car being about to explode. So he was obviously on PCP. And you realize that even with the body cam footage, even with the cameras, they can still lie to us, because that was put out then. It did look as if the cop had acted suspiciously. But when you actually look into exactly what happened, you find out that it was quite reasonable. And besides that, I mean, they should never have had a female cop going out there. It was a female, I believe, that did eventually shoot him. But again, there's a breakdown of
it. Right. I mean, that's a key point, actually. Yeah, I actually brought that up in one of the posts that I did on the Tulsa shooting. And you're 100% correct about the whole situation. Here you have this crazy black man who parked his car in the middle of a busy highway, just parked the car there, is roaming around like some sort of lunatic, saying all these crazy things. And you have a female police officer there. And I mean, I'm sure she's freaked out because she doesn't know what this guy's going to do. And she thought that he was trying to reach for something, so she ended up shooting him. I think there's a few problems with this story. First of all, we shouldn't have these crazy blacks running around like this in the first place. That's issue number one. And issue number two, why do we have female? Why do we allow our women to be put in this position? This woman should have never even been put into this particular spot where she would have to confront this big black man who was on PCP, because they found drugs in the automobile after the fact, and he was behaving erratically, so it's pretty safe to understand that, okay, this guy was clearly on something, but she shouldn't be in this position, not a woman. I mean, she should be at home doing stuff for kids, taking care of a house. But no, instead, our society has said, because of this Jewish propaganda about feminism, that, oh, well, you women, you can become a police officer and you can take down violent black criminals. It just, that whole incident right there in a nutshell just illustrates so many problems with our culture and society. And to make matters worse is they actually charged the female police officer with manslaughter. So now she has to go through this whole process, and who knows what's going to come of that. It's just a very disturbing situation. And look, I mean, she was just doing her job to the best of her ability. And I don't think you can really place the blame on her. I mean, here's a female put in a position that she should have absolutely never been put in.
Well, I mean, it's just common sense, really. If you think about it, the women have got less body strength than the man. They've got a third less body strength than the man. So if she's there up against a man, then the only option that she's got to provide herself with equal or greater strength is to use the weapon. So any move that he actually made, she would have been forced to have used a weapon just to even things up between the two of them. Because never mind the fact that he's also on PCP, which gives them extra strength anyway, and gives them hallucinations. So he was going to be dangerous, regardless of what he actually had. And then to put a woman up there against the strength of a fully grown Negro on PCP, it's, you know, again, as you say, it's a dangerous situation, and it should have been her superiors, really, that were in the firing line for that. And not for shooting an innocent man, but for just putting the woman in that position. It's ridiculous. I mean, they're putting them in the army as well, or they're saying they want to put them in the army. But I believe over here in Britain, they said they were going to do that, but none of them have actually passed the fitness test, because they're not going to lower the fitness standards to allow them to get into the equivalent of the Marines that we have over here.
They're doing the same thing over here. You have like special forces, you got the Army Rangers, the Green Berets, and all these very specialized fields in the military. And I mean, these are not jobs for women. And what's happened is that they've tried to push all these women through as a result of political correctness. And there was, I guess, a little while ago, they said that a couple females passed the Army Rangers course, and there was this whole deal, dirty dealings behind the scenes that allowed them to pass the course and say, oh, look, this is such a victory for equality and diversity and all this nonsense that's been promoted by the Jewish media and all this cultural Marxist crap. But I mean, really, they bent the rules so they could pass. And ever since then, all these women that have tried to go through all these very rigorous military courses have failed. And there's no reason to be putting women, again, there's no reason to be putting women in these positions. What, to fight wars? To be police officers going after these violent criminals? It's a joke. I mean, this is just completely against the basic nature of men and women. As you mentioned, women are clearly, on average, nowhere near as strong as men. And I'll give you an example. I go to the gym every so often, maybe like 3 or 4 times a week. And I mean, I'm not a huge guy. I weigh like between 150, 160 pounds, right? And there is not a single woman who comes close to being able to outlift me in the gym, period. Even some of these Amazon women, or these Amazon women creatures that come in, they're like really fit and everything and just lift weights. I mean, it's a joke to believe that women should be put in these positions.
Well, it's damaging for them as well. If you read the reports of these women that have been involved in sports, that have been pushed their bodies to the limits during at sport up to the age of 30, they get to 40 and their bodies are completely knackered. They're unable to produce children. Their bones are damaged. Their muscles are damaged. They've pushed themselves beyond the limit. And I think this is what's happened to Hillary Clinton. I think she's pushed herself beyond the limit, and she's now given herself dementia. A woman, seriously.
Oh, God. Have you seen some of the videos of her recently?
Not the most recent ones. God. What's happened? What have they been like?
Well, first of all, I mean, we haven't talked in a while, but I mean, you of course saw the incident she had during the September 11th memorial.
Yeah,
where she practically passed out, and then she disappeared for a little while, and they said she had pneumonia. But I mean, clearly there's a lot more going on with her. And then she delivered this really bizarre speech to, I guess, this labor union, and my God, I mean, the clip is scary. She's just like yelling and screeching, and she looks deranged. Like, she doesn't look like she's all there. And then she said, well, I should be like 50 points ahead. And she delivers all the words in this very weird and angry tone. So there's something really strange going on with her. And with a debate tomorrow, I question if she's going to be able to physically make it through the entire length of the debate without an incident happening.
Well, besides all the fatigue from doing the job that she's been doing as a foreign secretary, all the jet lag, flying around the world, different time zones, working 16 hours a day, doing a man's job, a hard job as a political envoy. Besides all of that, she's also had a stroke. So she'll be on statins, and statins do your memory in. They also give you fatigue. They stop you having as much energy. They sap the energy from you, but they really do damage the memory. And she must have been on statins since that stroke. So on top of doing all the work that she's done, which will take at least a third more out of her than it would do out of any man her age, on top of all of that, she's got the side effects from the statins that are going to be affecting her, which is really going to knock her performance down quite seriously. I mean, if she hadn't set herself so much, I think, on being president, she would have retired a long time back. It's just this drive that she's got, this jealous drive, this vain drive that she wants to be the first female president, that she'll do anything to get there. If she gets there, she could just fall the next day, just drop down dead, I think, from exhaustion. Women, you know, a woman cannot do the same things as a man. They're not built the same as a man. They're not created to do the same things as a man. That's why they have a third less body mass, a third less body strength. Their talents do not lie in the same direction that man's talents do. We have different shaped brains. Tomorrow, Donald Trump is just going to completely wipe the floor with her. To be bringing in Bill Clinton's ex-mistress as well is quite a masterstroke. She's going to be sat there in the audience, eyeballing Clinton. It's just a real shame for me. It's not going to be on until 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'm going to be a few hours late in actually watching it, Lee. But I am really looking forward to seeing that, because he really is going to wipe the floor with her. I do think that there is serious physical problems with her. It's not this fake, oh, it's a faint bit of pneumonia, a small bit of pneumonia that she's caught when she collapsed there at on the 911 memorial, because her legs just stopped moving. You know, it's a neurological problem. Her legs were just like frozen still. She couldn't literally walk into the car. That's a serious neurological problem there.
Well, Sven, there's a lot of people who believe that she's got Parkinson's disease. And look, I'm not a medical doctor, but I mean, clearly it's common sense to see that there's something physically wrong with this woman. And she hasn't been anywhere this past week. She hasn't been doing any campaigning. She made like one appearance, I guess, in Florida. But besides that, they've been trying to keep her behind closed doors as much as possible. And when she does make public appearances, it's only for a short period of time. She often looks very tired and looks really out of it. She doesn't look well. So there's absolutely something going on. And then there's this black guy who she has with him that it just follows her around with some sort of weird device. It's very strange. There's one incident during one of her, one of her events, where there was a protester of some kind, and then this guy came up to her and said, "Oh, keep talking. It's okay. Keep talking." So there's just a lot of unanswered questions about her health, and anybody who takes a look at these videos of her over the past several months can see clearly that she is not well. And there's no way that somebody like this can handle the rigors of what is obviously probably one of the most stressful jobs that anyone could ever have as president of the United States. That's not a small responsibility. So I just can't believe that there are still people who support this woman based on her physical status, which is obviously not good.
Well, if she has early onset dementia, at the moment she'll be able to pretty much cover it up, and it's people that are close to her that will be able to spot it. But if she's given an auto cue, if she's given a script to read, then people won't know, because she'll just be reading off a script. And I think that's what the situation is, because she hasn't given any press conferences, has she? She won't answer questions on the spot. It's all pre-prepared stuff that she's reading out off a script. None of it is off the cuff like Donald Trump does. This is why I think it's really going to show in these debates.
Yeah, I agree. And that's a good point. I mean, she's held like these little press gatherings because she's got like, she has like this pre-selected group of media that travel with her. So she's answered questions just from those people. But I mean, these are media personalities that she's pretty much personally chosen that are allowed to travel with her in her plane. So she's done a few of those. But I mean, even when she was asked questions by Matt Lauer, who is a Jewish media personality for, what is it, I think NBC. And it was interesting. This is a presidential forum. So they had Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump on this forum, and Matt Lauer asked them questions. And if you take a look at this, you can obviously see who the more qualified person is. Donald Trump was able to answer all the questions that Lauer threw at him very well, responded with coherent, clear points to everything that he threw at him. But when Hillary Clinton was asked about the email stuff and the illegal email server, the FBI, I mean, it almost sounded like she was trying to say things that people were feeding her through an earpiece. Her responses were totally disjointed, didn't make any sense. And so this is a Jewish media personality. And the next day, the press was like bashing the Jew Matt Lauer because, oh, well, he was too tough on her when he only asked questions about the email server. So with that said, if she has a problem getting through the presidential forum with Matt Lauer, I think she's going to have a really hard time dealing with Donald Trump.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, we look forward to seeing that tomorrow night. And just on the subject of politicians and politicians getting voted in, we've had Jeremy Corbyn has been voted in again to the leader of the Labour Party by a landslide vote this weekend. 62%, I think he got. And the competitor that he was against, his opponent, he got something like 38%, I think. And there was a few spoiled ballots. But this is particularly interesting because it shows that the left is eating itself, basically. The left is destroying itself. And Jeremy Corbyn was voted in by a landslide the first time around, and that was less than a year ago. And ever since then, the Jewish press has been on at him. They really don't like him. They really don't like him. And the reason why they don't like him is because he stands up against Israel and Palestine. He's a complete anti-racist. He was married to a hideous hippopotamus of a black female who is also in the Labour Party. But there's no way that you could say that he was racist in any way or anti-Jewish. But he is against the treatment of the Palestinians by the Israelis. And because of this, they've called him an anti-Semite. They've called the Labour Party anti-Semites. And of course, there's also been a campaign to encourage that by the Daily Stormer, featuring memes saying, I'm Jeremy Corbyn, I want to gas the kikes, and all this sort of thing. All very, very funny. But since he's been voted in, again, they've been saying to him, what about these accusations of anti-Semitism? What about all these accusations of him being anti the Jews? And it really has shown these Jews up. I mean, they're still getting hysterical about this. I'm not sure if it was one of the articles on your site, Lee, that was saying about the Jews are saying it's not safe for them in the Labour Party anymore.
It's insane how the Jews have reacted to this. Because, I mean, literally, I think like, 95% of the Jews in the Labour Party voted against Corbyn. I guess he was up against this guy, Owen Smith. I don't know who he is, but they voted against him in large numbers. This was reported by one of the Jewish media outlets. And they're really concerned over the fact that the Labour Party has really become anti-Israel. Because, I mean, you got a bunch of Muslims in there. They let all these characters into the Labour Party to be inclusive, right? And now you see that the Labour Party is pretty much falling apart because you have all these anti-Israel forces that are in there. Some of them are even calling out the Jews specifically. And so this has created a real problem for them because all this cultural Marxist crap they promoted, it's becoming difficult for their agenda to progress because now you got all these people in this leftist labor party, which is supposed to be Marxist in nature, that is saying, hey, well, what's up with Israel? Well, why are they doing all these things to the Palestinians? And that's not something these Jews are comfortable with. So it's very interesting. And that's why I wrote a kind of like a mock article on this also, referring to Jeremy Corbyn as a neo-Nazi white supremacist, because if you look at how the Jews are behaving, they practically think that he's like the next incarnation of Hitler. When you look at some of the things that they're saying, when he's not, it's just the Jews, they just overreact to everything. And I think they've lost control over the situation. It just makes them look even more foolish.
Well, they've really overreacted to it. I mean, there's been an inquiry into anti-Semitism that the Jews called for, and they put forward Shami Chakrabarti, the leader of Liberty, this Pakistani pro-homosexual, pro-pedophile, pro-everything female who was the head of it, who they've always put forward as their favourite anti-racist. And she said, well, there was no anti-Semitism at all in the Labour Party. So they've even started attacking her now. But I think what is really... they will, because it's like Jeremy Corbyn has drunk the Kool-Aid. He doesn't realise that all of this is just there to protect the Jews. He takes it all really seriously. He does think that we are all equal, and that if only the Negroes were given all the education that we were, they would turn into astronauts and scientists. He really believes this. He's really been taken in by it. Whereas the Jews know that it's all there just to subvert the goyim and protect the Jews. But the one thing I think that this really does show is that it shows that the Jews are losing their power to manipulate the minds of the goyim, because they thought they were going to be able to get the public to vote for Owen Smith. They really thought that. And they had so much power in the Labour Party itself that they were able to take out this guy who just won by a landslide by the voters. They were able, through their power in the Labour Party, to get all of his cabinet to resign and to get them to challenge his leadership. And then they thought that they would be able to, with their control of the media, they thought that they would be able to influence the voters to vote against him. And yet the voters have taken no notice whatsoever of the Jewish media. In fact, even more of them have voted for Jeremy Corbyn this time. So that's what their real fear is.
He got a larger percentage this time around than when he was previously elected. So that says a lot about how the Jews are really losing control over these political parties. So I think his re-election is actually really good news, and they're just going to make more and more mistakes, and they're going to complain and whine about all this nonsense, and just going to cause more people to say, hey, well, why do these Jews keep whining about stuff that it doesn't even matter? Like, what's going on with this? Who are these people? So, but you know, these Jews, I don't even think they're really that smart. They don't realize that all their behavior and all this whining is counterproductive to their cause. They just don't have the genetic makeup to even understand it. It's actually pretty funny to watch, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, it's an instinctual response that they have to things. You know, it's like when they used to think that it was a conspiracy. It was the Jews conspiring against us, and we realized that couldn't actually be. What it had to be was a biological thing. It's an instinct with them. They will always make a decision which is going to benefit the Jews and not the Goyim, whether they know it or not. They're just instinctively going to do that, and they've always instinctively used this persecuted minority victim statushood that they have to claim that all criticism of them is persecution, and is because people wish to do violence to them rather than genuine criticism. And now that that's been blown open wide, they don't know what else to do but to just double down with what they've done before. They'll just carry on doing what they've done before, but bigger and badder and stronger. And yet that just makes them look even worse, because it just highlights the fact that they have this privileged status and they're able to do this. They're able to.
Well, it's unbelievable to me how the Jews can continue to try to claim that they're a persecuted group by bringing up the Holocaust. This hoax that occurred, 70 plus years ago, this whole nonsense about gas chambers and lampshades and soap. I mean, they're still whining about that. Meanwhile, you take a look at who holds important positions within media, within the banking system, within corporations, I mean, even the technology industry, you can go on. You see Jews everywhere, academia, everywhere you see a large portion of Jews holding these very key positions of power. And then they continue to claim that they're some sort of persecuted minority. Really? Well, if you're such a persecuted minority, how come we have a Jew running the Federal Reserve right now? How come CNN is run by a Jew, Jeff Zucker? I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, the Frankfurt School, which is our story, I guess we'll talk about later. But here you have a bunch of Jews who promote this idea of cultural Marxism. And this ideology has been promoted by the Jewish press all over and has subverted society. I mean, that's a lot of power there. When you see stuff like that, how can you continue to claim that the Jews are a persecuted minority? And then you have Israel, which was formed after World War II. They have their own country they can go to. So, okay, if you feel persecuted, go to Israel. Leave. I mean, it's nuts how these creatures think. It's unbelievable.
It's interesting you brought up the Holocaust there, because I think they are getting worried about that. I mean, the latest Holocaust movie that they're bringing out is called Denial, and it's going after David Irving. It's totally completely twisting the narrative, everything that happened when David Irving took Deborah Lipstadt to court. And I just thought I'd bring it up here. Eric Hunt is producing a new series to do with this, and he's actually got the name Denial the Film or denialthemovie.com. So anyone that wants to know about this film and looks it up on Google is going to get taken to Eric Hunt's site. And he's produced two chapters debunking it so far of this denial movie. And I think that's going to backfire on them. I really do, because I think people that use the internet must have come across the debunking of the Holocaust. And the fact that they're bringing out this movie, trying to make out that this Deborah Lipstadt is some kind of hero speaking out for free speech against people that wish to get away, to get rid of free speech. I mean, how can you say that David Irving wishes to get to do away with free speech? And as soon as you look into the history of it, you'll realize that this movie has been completely turned around on its head. So I think this is going to do them more harm than good. It really is going to blow the whole thing apart, I think. And you brought up there the Frankfurt School getting mentioned again. This is exposing the Jews on mainstream television. This was, I forget which news network it was, a major American news network. Chuck Woolery, who runs a truth podcast, I believe, they had on this news segment interviewing him, and he brought up the fact that Adolf Hitler was against communists, and cultural Marxism and political correctness comes from the Frankfurt School. And it's amazing enough that he said cultural Marxism instead of political correctness, just the fact that he got that in there, that what this was that was preventing us from speaking our minds was actually cultural Marxism, and that it was thought up by a specific group of people that were in Germany when Hitler came to power, and they had to leave Germany because Hitler was anti the communists. And this was quite amazing, I thought.
Yes. Yeah, I 100% agree. This was a very significant clip, and it was actually Fox News. And I have it up on the website right now. I think Andrew posted it also. He did a more in-depth article than I did. But yeah, here you have this game show. Well, he used to be a game show host back in the 70s and 80s. A lot of people might not remember him, but he was on TV a lot doing those game shows. Chuck Woolery. And I don't think he's been on TV for a while. He kind of came out of nowhere. So all of a sudden he appears on Fox News, and as you were saying, he basically just brought up the fact that Adolf Hitler was against communism, that he was an anti-communist. And because he was an anti-communist, these Jews that ran this Frankfurt School, which is responsible for all this cultural Marxist political correct crap that we see today, they, because of Hitler, they had to leave and go to America, where they affiliated themselves with Columbia University. And that's where all this stuff took off from there. But the fact that he said that Hitler forced these Jews out, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said that Hitler forced these Jews to go to America, and these Frankfurt School Jews were responsible for all this cultural Marxist stuff. The viewer is going to say, okay, well, if Adolf Hitler was against all this cultural Marxist crap that we're seeing today that a lot of people dislike, then maybe Hitler wasn't the bad guy we've been told he was. Maybe there's more to the story of Adolf Hitler and World War II than we've been originally told. And once people go down that path, then it's going to change their entire perception of what's going on in the year 2016, without question.
Well, just realizing that it was all planned. It didn't happen by accident, this political correctness. It was thought up by a specific group of people who were trying to subvert the nation. I mean, a lot of people just think that this... you know, this has happened by accident, or it's a genuine thing that the minorities have thought up for themselves. But the minorities didn't think this up. I mean, it was a deliberate plan by these professors from this Frankfurt school, and they were doing the same thing in Weimar Germany. They've had this plan all along. To call it cultural Marxism as well, I mean, that points out the communist side of it, and that it's to do with Karl Marx, which again is going to wake people up to this, that political correctness is not a natural thing. It hasn't come from the grassroots at all. It's come from people that are deliberately trying to cause us harm. And do you think he'll ever get asked on that news show again after that, Lee?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, he didn't come out and say that the Jews were specifically responsible for the Frankfurt School. So it's possible his comments kind of went under the radar. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, if he appears on Fox News again, then great. But if not, then we'll know. He wasn't invited back on specifically because of the Frankfurt comments. But, I mean, I tell you what. I mean, the fact that somebody was actually on a major media network here in America making statements like that, that shows that we're having a major impact. I mean, one of the things that I really thought was extremely important over the past few years, considering how insane everything has gotten, was to wage war on political correctness in pretty much any way that I can. And that's why when you go to my website, you see all sorts of crazy stuff. Like, I mean, I'm trying to put out the most politically incorrect material that I can to combat all this nonsense about how we have to be careful about what we say and we can't hurt somebody's feelings. Well, I mean, we have to combat that as best we can. And the fact that we have people on TV now talking about how bad this stuff is, I think is really a major step in the right direction. So very positive stuff there as far as I'm concerned.
There's a fantastic headline on your site at the moment. I can't recall exactly how it went, but it was concerning Obama. I put a link to it in the chat room. I thought it was such a great headline. I can't recall it off the top of my head at the moment. But you know, as you say, he didn't actually mention the Jews. He just mentioned this group of people, the Frankfurt School. But if anybody does look up the Frankfurt School, they are going to realise that it was Jews. And the Fox News team at the end of the broadcast, they did say to people, check out his podcast. And they gave the name of it. And one of them said that he listens to it himself. So hopefully, that will bring people to us. So obviously, the more extreme you are with the headlines, the better. But this brings me to the next news story, which is to do with Google and YouTube and this response to them. I mean, Google have, or YouTube rather, have recently brought out a new, I don't know what you call it, a new drive to prevent people from putting hate speech on YouTube. And they're calling the people that flag up these comments heroes, and they're giving them free advertising space, free this, that, and the other. Basically trying to encourage people to prevent others from criticizing minorities, basically. It's got very little support. I think it's about 9-1 people that have been against it. So YouTube are really trying to crack down on nationalists, basically. And at the same time, you've got Google, who have been replacing white people everywhere. Millennial Woes drew attention to this. I mean, he looked up European people in art, and all the pictures came up with Negroes and Pakistanis. And this reminded me of when I was working on the Daily Stormer, and I would type into Google Images white mother and baby or white families, and it would always come up with Negroes and Pakistanis instead. And whenever we would stories about black criminals, and we knew they were black, but we had no picture of them, I would try and find a pair of black hands in handcuffs. And there were no pairs of black hands in handcuffs. They were all white hands. that had been put into the handcuffs. So it's basically sort of whitewashing blacks and blackwashing whites. And today I checked through some of them again. I looked at white mother and baby, white families, European mother and child. All of them have got Negroes in there. And when you look at white mother and baby, the pictures of the white babies, one of them has got an SS hat on and a Hitler moustache. Another one is pointing a gun at you. And then you've got all these brown babies mixed in between them. And if you look up black babies, you get all these Negro babies with all these cute bonnets on and what have you. So you can see this subversion in there of our people. So you've basically got Google and YouTube that are ganging up against us. And there's this EU drive that came out in May, I think it was, when they got Google and YouTube to say that they were going to do this, and the EU and the European governments put pressure on them to try and prevent hate speech, criticism of minorities, and to hand over information of the people that are doing this. So there's been this drive at 4chan and at the Daily Stormer to change the word Negro for Google, and change the word Jew for Skype, change the word Muslim for Skittle, gay will become butterfly, lesbian will become fish bucket, and Mexican will become Yahoo. And I think this is a really masterful idea, because they can't ban these words. They can't take these words out of the search engine. And if every time people type in Google or Skype, and then it comes up with these Negro stories or stories about Jews conspiring against us or committing crimes against us, trying to subvert us, you know, this is really going to hit them where it hurts, I think. This is a fantastic drive. And I noticed that everywhere now, people are starting to use these terms, starting to use Google instead of Negro. And I think this is a really good way of getting back at them. And, I mean, there are other things that Google have done as well. There's recently when NASA, I think they landed a probe on an asteroid or something, and Google commemorated that one of their cartoon images. And it was supposed to show you the NASA operations room, and it had Negroes in there, which is obviously something that just doesn't happen. You don't have Negroes with a high IQ. There are no Negroes involved in the top echelons of the NASA department, and the actual pictures of the room itself had no Negroes in. So they willfully misrepresented that by inserting this diversity into it. And these pictures of Europeans in art, again, they're showing you as if there were Negroes in Britain and all over Europe going back the last 300 or 400 years, which we know is a lie. And they're teaching British school kids that Hadrian's Wall was built by Negroes, and that we had African kings, Negro kings in Britain. There's this big drive to replace white people. They're trying to steal our history, basically. And Google are forefront of this.
Well, sure. Well, of course, I mean, Google, as we know, is a Jewish-run enterprise. Sergey Brin and Larry Page, two of the central figures behind Google, are both Jewish. So I think that explains a lot of what we're seeing. And then YouTube was bought out by Google several years back. And I guess Google is now called Alphabet. That's like their parent company. The bottom line is that these Jews control both Google and YouTube. So that's why we're seeing this YouTube heroes garbage. We're trying to stifle anybody that says anything bad about minorities or are saying things that are politically incorrect. And they're also trying to stop people who put out politically incorrect videos from being able to gain ad revenue from their videos. That's another operation that's ongoing. And some of the stuff you mentioned about the search engine, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. And then, of course, the astronaut stuff. Yeah, that was a major hoax. You know, they try to make NASA into this multicultural type of institution when historically NASA has been run and operated by white males. And when you took a look at the picture of the operations room, the actual real operations room of what you were referring to, it was mostly white males. So really, this is just an attempt, again, to subvert our cultures, subvert our societies. And I mentioned to you before the show, there's actually this new movie that is coming out that celebrates these black females that were in NASA back in the 1960s. And the whole premise of the film, from what I could tell just based on the trailer, is that, well, NASA wouldn't have done all these things in the 1960s if it wasn't for these three black women, like a mathematician of some kind. And it's there to promote this notion that, oh, well, there are these black geniuses. Like, okay, really? Well, I mean, if that's the case, if there are all these black geniuses running around, why is Africa such a hellhole? Why is it that nothing works there? Why is the infrastructure garbage? Why can't they maintain anything? And the whole premise that they're putting out there is false, and it's really designed to subvert everything that we have in our own countries.
I think the only blacks they would have had in the NASA operations room would have been the cleaning women and the cleaning ladies there. Zeiger's had an article out this week as well showing you that Google put across these great inventors, great inventions, and they put all these Negroes up there. So he went through a long list of all these inventions that Negroes are supposed to have invented that have all turned out to be completely false. Yeah, they're complete lies.
What have they invented? I mean, every single black invention that I've come across is either some type of hoax or some type of an exaggeration of what they actually did. And then when you dig deeper, it's like, okay, some German guy invented this like several decades before. Like, there was somebody that tried to tell me that some black guy invented air conditioning. And then I looked into it, and it was some white guy that invented it decades ago. It's just all these black inventions are everything that I've seen. It's like some hoax, except maybe like what, peanut butter? I guess peanut butter might not be a hoax, but even still, it just shows that all this stuff is nonsense.
Well, surely peanut butter would have been from South America, not from Africa. I would have thought. I think that's where the peanuts grow.
I don't know. That's just a side point. That's just one thing they always bring up. It's like peanut butter. I don't know.
It's incredible the things that they'll come out with. I mean, this goes back to them not actually having any history. So they thought what they would do is make up a history for them. This is bizarre.
Well, Sven, did you hear about what Obama just did? He basically opened up this African American history museum in America.
Well, what's it going to happen? What's it going to have in it?
I mean, if you put any black history, it's just going to be them running around with spears and rioting and killing and raping people. And maybe, cannibalism too. I mean, if you want to look at real black history, there it is. But it's just this Jewish promoted notion of black history, which shows all of these Jewish promoted riots and the civil rights movement, all these things that were concocted by Jews, is pretty much what is in this museum. It's a total hoax. There's no history there. It's just a fabrication.
Well, there is no history of their own. I mean, when you talk to them, they're talking to us in our language. When you see them, they're wearing our clothes. When you see them moving about, they're moving about on our transport. They wouldn't even be invading Europe if we hadn't given them seaworthy boats. They never even invented a seaworthy boat of their own. There literally is no history to them. They are like a completely different species. I do see them as a completely, completely different species. But a lot of this is really, it's our own actions coming around to bite us again, basically. I mean, we are the ones that gave them the technology. We're the ones that clothed them. We're the ones that taught them to read and write. We taught them to speak English, and we gave them these lies about history. And we're now being punished for interfering and projecting our own good natures onto them and treating them how we should have been treating our own. I mean, at the time when this was happening, the drive to free the slaves, we still had white slaves. We still had white kids that were going up chimneys. And instead of diverting our empathies towards our own people, we ended up diverting our empathies towards the Negroes. And I know the Jews were behind encouraging a lot of it. We've also got traitors among our own kind. But this really is those things that we did back then coming back here now to punish us. Because if we hadn't given them this technology, then they wouldn't be able to come to Europe. If we hadn't given them medicine, then their birth rate wouldn't have increased so much as it has. And I noticed that Zuckerberg is talking about eradicating all diseases with all his Facebook money. But what is that going to do for the black birth rate? I mean, it's bad enough as it is. They've increased from, I think, 100 million to over 1 billion just in the last century. I think they're projected to go up by another billion just in the next 50 years. If they get rid of all the natural checks on their growth, we're just going to be absolutely swamped by them within the next 70 years. And they're all going to want feeding. They're all going to be like these ones that are out there in Paris at the moment, just sitting there on the sidewalk on mattresses waiting for somebody to feed them. I mean, they're literally like wild animals that are just waiting to be fed by human passers-by.
You know, it's yeah. Well, I mean, what we got to do is there has to be an initiative at some point in the near future where we move all of these Negroes back to Africa or put them in reservations of some kind, because this can't continue. We have policies throughout the West in which all this welfare, and at least in America, you have EBT cards, food stamps, you have all this stuff that essentially encourages these Negroes to breed and produce more children, and then they just get more welfare money. So there's no checks on them just producing children endlessly. And so that's why you see these blacks, they have like six or seven kids, and they're all on welfare, and they don't produce anything of substance. It's really a joke. So we have to end that whole system, and then we have to find a way to encourage them to move back to Africa, or again, put them on a reservation of some kind, and let's get some sort of racial separation here. We need to have these conversations. You know, I brought this point up before, I think on maybe a previous show, but I find it really funny how in the Jewish media, they bring on all these Negroes to say, well, we have to have an honest conversation about race. We have to have an honest conversation about racial relations in America. Well, no, you don't. I mean, if you want to have an honest conversation about race, then bring myself on one of your shows or somebody that has this viewpoint about how we need to have racial separation. And until you're willing to have that discussion, you don't want to have an honest conversation about race, because as far as I could see, the only solution to these problems we have is racial separation. You have blacks in Africa, you have whites in Europe and in North America and Australia, and a few other places as well. But I mean, these are our natural environments, and we should keep it that way. By mixing all these races together, it just creates chaos. It creates all these issues and problems that we're seeing now. And this is all because of the fact that we have these Jewish interests that have promoted this nonsense idea of multiculturalism. So again, these people don't want to have an honest conversation about race, and it's going to be up to us to put forth these ideas as soon as we get these crazy Jews out of these positions of power. We need to get rid of them immediately. And hopefully within our lifetime, I'm hoping the next 10 years, maybe sooner, with the way things are going, this is going to happen. Because I tell you what, people are getting more and more fed up with all this garbage and all this political correctness than ever before. You see it everywhere. And I think that's a big positive for us.
Well, this brings up a point that often gets brought up. You can talk to people and say, well, what about the ones that are already here? How are you going to get them to go back? They're naturalized. They've become citizens. But if you were to offer each one of them $2,000 to go back, then I'm fairly certain that a large percentage of them would go back. I mean, you could offer them more than that. And you could offer them $5,000 and a free trip back to Africa, to the country of their choice on the continent of Africa. And I bet 90% of them would take up that offer and go back, because they would be thinking the short term. And that would be saving billions. You think how much it costs? Just in prison fees.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's what I would do. I would say, okay, you know what? Yeah, we're bad people. Yeah, your ancestors were enslaved. So guess what? We're going to pay you reparations, okay? You know, you've been complaining for years about slavery reparations, okay? So here we go. Here's slavery reparations. All you got to do to collect your slavery reparations is agree to leave Africa and not come back.
Yeah, leave America. Solved. Yeah. That would be the way to do it. That would be an easy way to do it, and nobody could accuse you of being racist then either. To be honest,
because I'd be satisfying their demands of giving them slavery reparations. In fact, if I ever run for political office, I'll be part of my platform. I'll say, "Yeah, we're gonna give black slavery reparations in exchange for going back to Africa."
Well, it's the sort of thing you can imagine Donald Trump saying, really. I mean, he does say things with a straight face that are just sensible things. You know, like this building the wall. It's a sensible thing. It's a sensible, it's good for Mexico and it's good for America. And that would be good for the Negroes and it would be good for the white Americans. And you could apply the same thing to Europe and just say to these supposed refugees that are all over here because they say that their countries have been destroyed. Well, here's the money to go back there and rebuild your countries that have been destroyed. And we're not going to go to and have any more wars there. We're not going to fund the Islamic terrorists to cause any more trouble in Syria. And here's your money to go back. Now go. Again, who could argue with that? You couldn't argue with that. And 90% of the people would take the money and go. So there's no need for there to be violent killing everybody in order to get rid of them, to get them to leave the country. You wouldn't have to be violent with them. All you'd have to do is offer them an incentive. And the incentive would save an absolute fortune in money. I said in jest about the prison prices, but I think it's, well, I can't recall how many it is. I think it's almost every one of the Negroes has been in prison at one point or other in their lives. And you think how much it costs to keep people in prison for a year. It's thousands. Thousands.
Well, yeah,
thousands.
It's a lot of money. It's going to be cheaper in the long run if you just send them back to Africa, period. The bottom line is that their racial behavior cannot coexist within the construct of white European civilization. I mean, yeah, I guess some of them can maybe adapt, but I mean, the percentage of those that can adapt and actually participate in our culture is very small. If you look at the average Negro, they're of low intelligence. They're more violent. They're more aggressive. I mean, they weren't designed to be a part of white European civilization. We're just too different. So that's why you need to have that separation. But Sven, you mentioned something about Syria, and I wanted to mention something real quick about that I think that we have to address on the show. A very interesting thing happened in Syria that has really gotten very little attention here in the Jewish press. The American military actually ended up bombing Syrian military, like the actual Syrian army, Syrian military positions, which allowed the Islamic State to advance. And this was right in the middle of this attempt to try to negotiate a ceasefire. They were really close to negotiating a ceasefire. And then all of a sudden they bombed Syrian military forces. And then they claimed it was a mistake. And this got like no coverage over here in America. Obama didn't issue any sort of statement on it. There was some disjointed statement from the UN ambassador. What's her name? Powers. I mean, and they just blamed the Russians for being bad people. So there's a lot of strange business going on with that. And I just thought I'd bring that up because I think that's a really significant story, as it shows that when you look at what's happening in the Middle East, a lot of it is designed to create as much chaos as possible. And that's really the policy. American foreign policy in the Middle East is not to have this great peaceful area of the world. The foreign policy is to create as much chaos as possible because that benefits Israel and all the Jewish war criminals and the Zionists that live there. So that's really the policy. And that's why the American military bombed the Syrian army in the middle of this attempt to try to get a ceasefire going. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's win-win for the Jews, isn't it? They get the American military to go in there and take out their enemy, Bashar al-Assad. And at the same time, it drives waves and waves of brown people into Europe. And then the Jews that are embedded within Europe lobby the government to allow these poor refugees in. They don't lobby them for them to take them in Israel. They lobby the government to take them into the parts of Europe. I mean, we discussed this a bit on Truth Without Radio on Friday. We did a bit of a special on the Syria conflict. It's still ongoing as we speak now, Lee, I think. But just to take it back to what you were saying about the blacks being incompatible, they are incompatible with the white race. And wherever they are, they will seek to replace everything of ours with everything of theirs. This is what this this drive is with Google to replace the white people in the pictures of art. This is what this drive is, to replace white history with black faces and tell the blacks that they were the ones that built Hadrian's Wall and were working instead of the Romans in Britain. And this is what drives them to break down the statues of Cecil Rhodes, who actually paid for their scholarships to universities in South Africa. And this is also what's driving them in South America to try and get rid of your rebel flag that you've got there. And also that they were trying to take down Andrew Jackson's statue this week. They're just like ISIS in the Middle East that are trying to destroy all the evidence of the old civilizations out there. And the blacks in America are trying to destroy any evidence of the white people from just 100 years before. And one of the reasons why I bring this up is because I was so pleased to see that David Duke was going there to the protest. And this is something that I've been arguing for with Matt Heinbach. We spoke about it on Monday's podcast on the Daily Traditionalist, that we need our white advocates, the ones that are used to going to the conferences and the posh hotels, we need them to be out there at the protests with the young idealists. We need the young idealists there for the numbers and to provide security. And then we need our most articulate advocates to be there speaking to the public. And that's exactly what happened at this demonstration against the Black Lives Matter that were trying to destroy Andrew Jackson's statue. They had David Duke there, one of our most articulate advocates speaking for the white race, and he was speaking there to the public at that protest alongside all the younger white nationalists that were there to provide support for him. And this is a really positive step forwards, I think. And I would really like to see people like Kevin MacDonald or Jared Taylor doing the same, Richard Spencer. But these people that are really articulate, we may criticize them for not being anti-Jew-wise enough or not being too extreme, but they are very articulate. They're excellent speakers. If you put them forwards, then people are going to see that, and it's going to totally destroy this image that the public have of us of being numbskulls or just being thugs. They'll see somebody there, well presented, articulate, presents a good argument, a believable argument, and it will bring people to our side. I just wanted to bring that up near the end of the podcast because I just thought it was such a positive thing to end the podcast on. I'm really looking forward to hearing what David Duke had to say at that protest. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Lee, or anything else before we finish.
Yeah, sure. I'll just mention real quick about the David Duke stuff and the Andrew Jackson statue. I haven't seen the video footage of it yet. I'm sure there's going to be some video clips of it out there somewhere. But I tell you what, if David Duke can somehow become the Louisiana senator, he's running for Senate down there, that would be a huge step in the right direction, because you're going to have somebody in the Senate who is going to be talking about the Jewish problem and also the notion of white identity. Right now, we don't really have anybody anywhere in politics in an official capacity that's speaking out on these issues. So I think the fact that he went down there to defend the Andrew Jackson statue is a huge positive. Andrew Jackson, I would argue, was one of the greatest presidents that America ever had. He went after the bankers. He got rid of the bankers, and largely because of his efforts, that's really what allowed America to expand economically as much as it did throughout the 19th century. It wasn't until later on that they were able to subvert the systems and then set up the Federal Reserve System, which of course we know is a Jewish construction. But Andrew Jackson was, I would consider, one of the greatest American presidents. And I think David Duke going out there and making some statements surrounded by some of his supporters is a huge positive. So definitely very supportive of that. And if anybody's listening, I encourage you, if you're in Louisiana, please support David Duke for the Senate. If we have Donald Trump as president and David Duke as a senator, the stuff that David Duke says is going to make Trump stuff look much less extreme. It's going to be an even easier task for us to move things in the right direction. So that's definitely a big positive there. I hope he wins. Hope both of them win.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that he needs as much financial help as well at the moment while he's doing this. So it's a viable thing for you to contribute to, a good thing for you to contribute to that is going to see results. So I would suggest that if anyone does have a bit of cash floating around, they do want to contribute to somebody in the cause, and then I would advise sending it to David Duke. Yeah, well, thanks very much for coming on once again, Lee. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with another Stormer report for you at the same time, same place, Radio Aryan.
You are listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.